Track 7, more news stories, and we can't leave this week without remembering the effects of Storm Babette last week. Communities across Devon, in particular those of Dawlish and Tynmouth, are busy dealing with the aftermath of Storm Babette, which made landfall last week. The two seaside towns had to contend with sizeable waves, some of which clocked in at 15 feet, as well as persistent piercing wind. Several properties, including beach huts, the freehold for which would set one back around £50,000, were all but destroyed at Tynmouth, and Dawlish Seafront, having only recently dealt with flooding earlier in the month, sustained damage also. Elsewhere, residents woke to discover displaced kayaks, boats freely adrift after having slipped moorings, and the general debris synonymous with a storm of Babette's kind. The storm, which graced Devon's shores on Wednesday, October the 18th, washed as much as 4 feet of sea foam onto the coast. And there's a series of pictures. There's the damaged beach huts at Tynmouth, looking very sorry for themselves. There's the point at Tynmouth, which has a large crack in the concrete. There's waves battering the Dawlish seafront. And there is a foam-covered Dawlish water, the foam having been blown in from the sea.
And trains west of Exeter were cancelled or severely delayed throughout last Wednesday. A storm Babette wreaked havoc on the coastline track between Dawlish and Tynmouth. 3 trains in total were rendered unusable from the sea spray damaging the engines. The first Great Western Railway train to experience issues was battered by sea spray, causing it to lose power in 5 out of its 6 engines. It managed to limp to Newton Abbott, where it remained for over 24 hours. Another GWR train failed at Dawlish, losing all 6 of its engines. It was towed to safety at 2 a.m. Wednesday morning. Then, yet another train lost all engines, this time dying at Tynmouth. In an attempt to rescue the train and tow it to safety, another train had all its engines knocked out by the sea spray. And there's a photograph of the poorly looking train.
Hospice's ambitious expansion plans. A new purpose-built specialist dementia and complex nursing home for residents in South Devon is the vision of Rowcroft Hospice Chief Executive Mark Hawkins, who recently met Central Devon MP and Secretary of State for Work and Pensions Mel Stride to brief him on the hospice's ambitious expansion plans. Rowcroft has secured planning permission to remodel a hospice as a new purpose-built inpatient unit with 14 single rooms for patients, all en suite and with the latest facilities to support greater dignity and comfort. A new 60-bed specialist dementia and complex nursing home and 40 assisted living units. As a charity, the hospice only receives government funding for a quarter of its costs, with the remainder funded through donations, legacies and fundraising. Mr. Hawkins told the MP how the nursing home intends to use the latest technology and artificial intelligence to support the delivery of exceptional care. Mr. Hawkins said South Devon's ageing population needs the world-class specialist dementia and complex nursing home and the assisted living accommodation that I am hoping we can deliver. Planning permission was just the first of many hurdles. Securing the funding to deliver them all, as well as to remodel the hospice, will be the biggest. Mr. Stride said, "I was very impressed with Mark's ambitious plans, which would deliver state-of-the-art facilities for the benefit of residents across South Devon. I will certainly support the hospice's fundraising efforts in any way I can."
And it was more than just a walk in the park. A charity walker from Derbyshire has been trekking Dartmoor this month as part of a mammoth A Walk in the Parks challenge. Jenny Lothrop, along with her faithful hound Cookie, have been hiking through 10 of the UK's national parks over 10 weeks and notching up 1,000 miles in the process to hopefully reach a £10,000 target. The challenge is raising money for the Peak District Foundation, and they are match funded by the Alp Kit Foundation, with £1,000 to give out to projects in each national park they visit. Jenny said, "I'm not sure where the idea came from, but I love hiking, love national parks, and I'm passionate about sharing the importance of our national parks, both of our physical and mental well-being, but for the planet as well. National parks contain some of the biggest carbon sinks in the UK and are vital to so many rare breeds and habitats. I believe in the power of our national parks to help us connect with nature and improve our climate, and I want to spread that message to more people." Recalling her time in Dartmoor, Jenny said, "We were so lucky with the weather on the moorlands, sunshine and blue skies. Not what you expect in October. Dartmoor showed me its best side." Her route took her from Ivybridge to Scorriton, Widdicombe in the Moor, Chagford Common, where she wildcapped, to Oakhampton, High Wilhays, and back to Oakhampton. The pair are competing the highest peak in each park too. As well as wild camping on Chagford Common, she enjoyed a cosy night in an off-the-grid cabin just outside Widdicombe, with a lovely view of Haytor Rocks. She and Simon Lee, the lead ranger of Dartmoor, paid a visit to Haytor together. Jenny and Cookie had walked 750 miles and 1.4 million steps by the time they got to Dartmoor. Jenny said, "Along the way, we've loved meeting people from different national parks and learning more about what makes each park special and why we need to look after them." Jenny's 10-week hike ends on Monday, October the 30th. And there's a couple of pictures of Jenny, one at her Dartmoor start line in Ivybridge, and one which says it's Jenny and Cookie at the top of Haytor. Doesn't actually look like the top of Haytor to me, but it's definitely Dartmoor.
Ship with Teambridge connections sinks in the North Sea. A cargo ship regularly seen at Tynmouth Port has sunk following a collision in the North Sea. MV Verity, a British flagged ship, was reported to have been involved in an incident off the coast of Germany. A body was recovered and two people were rescued after Tuesday's collision. A search was being carried out for the other people on board the 300-foot ship, which was regularly seen docked in Tynmouth. The Verity was heading from Bremen to the English port of Immingham in Lincolnshire at the time of the collision with another container vessel. The Iona P&O cruise ship, based out of Southampton, was bound for Rotterdam, but paused in the vicinity of Verity's last known location to join other nearby ships with the rescue effort. A number of German search and rescue vessels were in the area, along with two helicopters. The other ship involved was the Bahamian-flagged Polsey, which was carrying 22 passengers and was travelling from Hamburg to La Coruña in Spain.
Museum is recognised for its quality. Dawlish Museum is celebrating achieving recognition by reaching the national benchmark of quality. Home of Piper Bill Millen's famous D-Day bagpipes, the volunteer-run museum has announced it has achieved accreditation status. Administrated by Arts Council England, accreditation is a standard for well-run museums and galleries. The museum, which receives no government funding, boasts 11 galleries over three floors and houses a vast collection of artefacts. It first achieved full accreditation in 2009, and its combined continued success is due to the dedication and hard work of all its volunteers. The Dawlish Museum accreditation is a verification it is properly managed and governed to meet the nationally agreed industry standard and shows the museum takes proper care of its collections, sharing them with visitors and keeping them safe. Accreditation opens up funding opportunities, allows museums to host touring exhibitions and gives access to professional advice and support.